This is Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media, and I'm speaking with Srinivasan K.A., who is co-founder and chief revenue officer at Amagi. Srini, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me, Colin.
Now, if you're not in our business, Amagi is probably not a name you know, because you're one of those companies that's the power behind the stream. So you're actually helping a lot of companies that people will know, like Tastemade and Gannett and a whole bunch of others. You're helping them get their video onto our screens through connected televisions particularly. So why don't you give us a quick overview? What is Amagi?
Amagi is what you would call as the connector between the content owner and the CTV and the consumer, as you rightly pointed out. Think of us as the C in the CTV, the one that connects the producers of content, the ones that actually own the content, to the end consumers, or the platforms that actually deliver to the end consumers. We act as the bridge. We help these content owners to create, program their 24/7 linear channels, distributed across platforms like the Samsung TV Plus, the Roku channel, Pluto, Zumo, Tubi, and folks like those, essentially, and monetize it through dynamic ad insertion. So pretty much the tech platform that powers FAST from a backend perspective, as you know, very aptly put.
So FAST is a very, very key market, and I think it's probably one of the things that's really powering your extraordinary growth, which we'll get to in just a second. But that's not all you do, is it? There are several other things Amagi does.
Absolutely. Our legacy comes from actually helping broadcasters, traditional TV networks, move to the cloud, moving from their traditional broadcast hardware infrastructure to a much more software-centric cloud infrastructure. So for these TV networks, we help them run their broadcast workflows on the cloud for both traditional cable satellite broadcast as well as for OTT. So that's the other big part of the business that we actually do.
And talking about the FAST market driving extraordinary growth, you have grown extremely quickly in the last quarter and in the last year, right?
Yes, it has been a fantastic growth. Last year, we grew by about 136% year on year. And just from last quarter to this quarter, we grew by 17%. So it's been a really rocket ship growth for us so far, touch wood.
So, I mean, would you say that most of that growth has been coming in the FAST market?
A substantial part of it has come from the FAST market. We also had some traditional broadcasters accelerating their move to cloud and hence using our broadcast workflows as well. But the biggest and the fastest part of that has been on the FAST side.
Right. So free ad-supported streaming TV has been, I think it's been one of the standout stories over the last year and a half. And what you're really helping people do is to take their assets and put them together into channels and then distribute them through services like Pluto TV, Samsung TV Plus, LG Channels, these FAST services that people are watching, right?
Absolutely. And insert ads in them so that the content owners can actually make money from those.
Right. And for bigger providers, they're probably adept at selling their own ads. But for smaller providers, you actually help them with the ad sale as well, right?
Correct. For a number of both big and small, we help them sell ads that they are not able to sell, what we call as backfill of their inventory. So whatever is unsold, we leverage our large programmatic ad network partnerships and direct ad sales partnerships to fill up that inventory and increase fulfillment for them. The benefit with something like that is that given the large amount of inventory that is passing through our system, we have massive access that we can go to an advertiser and say, hey, if you want to build a campaign specifically in one single city, but you want a large reach, we can actually get you through all of these by aggregating inventory across all of these FAST channels.
Right. And you're doing this for some really big names, right? Gannett has just moved its channels to you and several others. Tell us about some of those marquee customers.
So there are quite a few today. We believe, Colin, that based on our market share estimates, we are the largest in the FAST space in terms of covering of FAST channels. We work just in the FAST space. We work with 300 plus brands, content brands, some of them extremely well known. Some of the publicly announced names include Gannett, that is USA Today, and their Sportswire brands. We work with Tastemade. We work with Crackle. We work with Cinedigm. Again, a number of brands within Cinedigm. You know, the most popular one being, let's say, Bob Ross. They recently announced the Real Madrid channel. Again, across the board, whether it's traditional networks who are getting into TV like Fremantle, Buzzr, Buzzr TV sort of networks, or new age television networks like Ven TV that was pretty much created as an esports network for the FAST or the OTT era, we power a wide range of these in just in the US domestic. Internationally, we work with companies like O5, ADN, the Anime Digital Network, to name a few, in France, Germany, and the UK.
Give us an example of one of those and tell us how you help them get their 24/7 channels up on a service.
Absolutely. So take an example like USA Today, right? They are a news network, ultimately. So they have a newsroom that produces clips. You know, they're getting news information from all over US. They're creating these news clips. You know, getting them out quickly enough is very, very important. So what we provide for them is a programming platform plus automation, where they could come in and schedule their newscast. They could schedule their, you know, pre-programmed shows within the 24/7 channel using a very simple, easy-to-use interface. But they can also pretty much in real time stream all the news clips, and our system automatically can pick that up and can actually, you know, program it into a one-hour newscast based on the priority that they provide, so that you can actually watch fairly nearly real-time news clips as well beyond the live shows. And then we take that, encode it, distribute onto these different platforms, whether it's Samsung or a Roku or a Pluto. And, you know, whenever there is an ad break opportunity, then we will connect to an ad network or an ad server provided by either, you know, Gannett or by, let's say, a Samsung or a Roku, get the appropriate, you know, personally targeted ad, stitch it within the channel, and then distribute it to the end consumer.
And so the provider has a lot of flexibility as to how frequently those ad breaks appear and how many ads are in those ad breaks?
Absolutely. The program has complete control in terms of how many ad breaks do they want, how long are the ad breaks, how often are they appearing. And they could change both content and advertising in real time. They will have a master control simply based on a user interface. So can come in and say, hey, there's an airline crash. I want to take out all the ads, all the commercials, all the content, anything about airlines right now. That's not something I don't want to talk about, right? So they can actually have fairly real-time control in terms of running the channel and upload stuff that's truly last minute.
Very good. It's not only, you don't only do FAST. One of the recent, I think, very high-profile deals was for the Olympics, correct? 4K production of the Olympics in the cloud. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. You know, that is one of the most prestigious projects that we worked on, Colin. This is with NBC Universal. As we know, NBC had all the rights for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, which incidentally happened in 2021. So they were looking for moving broadcast from traditional on-prem based hardware into a cloud based full playout, linear channel playout and automation. So they used Amagi's CloudPort, which is our flagship playout and automation tool, to create a full 24/7 4K channel with Dolby Atmos and all the bells and whistles that you'd expect, including live closed captioning and, you know, high quality streaming out of that, with both live and non-live programming for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
To me, I'm just about to release a white paper called Getting FAST, and it looks to me like the market's going to do about $1 billion this year just in the US alone. But it's not just growing in the US, right? You're also very active in a lot of other markets. Tell us about those.
Well, some of the other markets have also become a lot more active, especially in the last 1 year or so. Western Europe has picked up substantially. I mean, they're still a couple of years behind the US, I should say. But in terms of streaming, specifically FAST, we have seen substantial growth in the UK, in Germany, and France. Italy and Spain are starting to happen. Samsung also recently launched in the Nordics, Netherlands, and a whole bunch of other European markets. I think that you should start seeing beyond growth beyond the EU6 or EU7 into some of these markets as well. Samsung, one of the successful launches for Samsung has been in Australia as well as in India. So we're starting to see more growth. We recently signed up with a whole bunch of other TV set manufacturers, which are some of the largest globally, both in the mobile space as well as in TV space, growing aggressively in LATAM as well as in Asian markets.
Do you think it's the smart TVs that are primarily driving this growth, or is it devices in the rest of the world? I think it's probably devices here in the US, but what about outside? Is it smart TVs?
So again, interestingly, again, it changes from market to market to some extent, right? We are seeing, for example, in Asia, not even connected devices, but mobile, that's actually driving the growth. It's primarily a mobile first world. Markets like India, we see a lot more viewership on mobile than on television. And certainly, much more on connected television, even within the TV set, than the connected device to some extent. But there are some of the Western European markets, the connected TV sets like, Samsung, LG, Philips TV sets, some of these are extremely popular, and we are seeing them. I saw a report that talks about 352 million connected TVs being sold this year alone, or expected to be sold this year alone, right? That's a massive growth that's coming along.
It seems that the built-in service, the built-in FAST services in those televisions are tremendously influential, right?
Absolutely. We're starting to see a lot of these TV set manufacturers becoming as much as a service provider as they were an OEM. So this is starting to become a serious revenue earner for them, and also a way to keep the customer consistently engaged and spending a lot more time, whether it's, FAST or potentially even subscription services that you're starting to offer as a smart TV ecosystem.
Yeah. I know Vizio here in the States is just about to go public, and that was one of their key messages, that they're really a service provider, not a television manufacturer, which is pretty radical statement from a company that's made its business selling TVs. What are you anticipating for the rest of the year? I expect lots of growth, lots of new customers.
Certainly lots of growth. We are also starting to see a substantial lift across all the platforms, FAST platforms doing O&O. That is becoming much larger. Some of our larger platform customers are doing dozens of channels themselves, owned and operated channels. We are starting to see, commissioned programming, very much like what we saw in the Netflix world, being created specifically for FAST. FAST earlier, in the early days, used to be, hey, let's put something that is not available on cable, that's cheap, that's free, let's just put it in there. Now it's the kind of premium programming that we are seeing, the premium content that we are seeing coming into FAST has dramatically changed just because of the, as you said, right, the dollars moving in, the ad dollars moving more and more into FAST. We are starting to see investment happening in terms of production and content. So a few things that we are seeing, Colin. One, a lot more original programming from our platform customers. We work with pretty much all the major platforms at their back-end tech stack. So we're seeing more and more, O&O channels. Two, we are seeing some of the traditional TV networks jumping onto FAST, cable channels that traditionally had stayed out saying, hey, we are pay channels. Pretty much, I'm not aware of a single television network that's not thinking actively about FAST or already in FAST, right? So that's happening in a big way. Right. I mean, more and more premium content from that perspective. Sports and local news is happening in a really big way. I think that's going to be a big story for...
Blending live with live feeds with on-demand assets in a single classic channel, just like we'd see over traditional broadcast.
Absolutely. Our top 10 to 20% of the channels all have live components, across their entire, channel brands that we have. The top 20%, pretty much all of them have live, so live is becoming a very, very big part of FAST now.
There's something you said that I just wanted to ask you about before we go here. You said that providers are beginning to do their own channels, their owned and owned and operated services. In the early days of FAST, there was a lot of licensing of channels from folks like Xumo and Pluto TV. Is that happening a little less? Are the TV manufacturers putting together their own channels more now?
No, I don't think it's going to be one or the other. Colin, they're continuing to license third-party channels more and more, for sure. Are they taking it from some of the traditional providers? Are they directly going to content owners? That's shifting based on the dynamics that's happening. But we do see pretty much platforms looking to differentiate themselves from other platforms by creating these own and operated channels. Otherwise, what is the reason? Why would I choose an app A versus an app B if exactly the same set of channels are available in both? So there's very little differentiation. I think content is going to become more and more of a differentiator apart from the experience. So that's the path that they're going down.
Very good. Well, Srini, this has been a fascinating conversation. We could have talked for a lot longer than this. So thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you come back and talk to us again soon. Also, I urge my listeners to stop by the Endscreen Media website and pick up the Getting FAST white paper, available free, which will be available this week. Srini, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. I very much look forward to reading the white paper as well. Thanks a lot for that.
Very good. All right. This has been Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media.
This podcast is the property of Endscreen Media. All rights reserved.